appeal procedures for tonight.
Thank you.
Should I write on there?
May not, depending on the state, so I can sign up now, right?
That's correct.
I don't know how to, this would be...
Well, just have them write it out beside the name.
Yeah, for against, but there, it's the appeal, it's not the... It's not the project. This pen's not working.
Yeah, you can have one of those.
You can take one of those, but that's just an agenda.
I'd like to call the meeting of the Tenney County Planning and Zoning Board of Adjustments to order at this time. And Eddie, would you give us the roll call?
Dave Clementson?
Present.
Tom Gideon?
Present.
Bob Hanselin?
Present.
Jack Johnston?
Present.
David Nelson?
Present.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Full quorum?
Yes, sir.
All right. Would you give us the explanation of tonight's public hearing procedures?
This is the Tenney County Planning Commission Board of Adjustment Hearing Procedures. Today's Board of Adjustment meeting is to hear a variance request and appeals on decisions made by the Tenney County Planning Commission. The Board of Adjustment meeting is governed by the Tenney County Development Guidance Code. Public hearings are held on each request or appeal which is filed in the Tenney County Planning Commission. I would like at this time to place the Tenney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case to be heard, as Exhibit B, the staff file as Exhibit C, and the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit D for all cases to be heard at this public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the board, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you'd like to comment, you must sign the sheet which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. Any comments and questions are to be addressed to the board and not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes unless additional time is granted by the chairperson. Anyone who wishes to speak either for or against any case to be heard today must be sworn in.
Thank you. And Bob, would you give us the governing statutes?
The Board of Adjustment shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty, 1. To hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. 2. To hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. 3. Where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape, or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under sections 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property as an unreasonable deprivation of use as distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege to authorize upon an appeal relating to the property a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map. 2. In exercising the above powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirement, decision or determination appealed from and may take such order, requirement, decision, or determination as ought to be made, and to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Thank you very much. Tonight we have one item on the docket, and that is for public hearing for Larry and Heather McCaig. Would you give us the staff report, please?
This is the staff report for Larry and Heather McCaig, dated September 15, 2010, case number 10-3. This is the public appeal request by Larry and Heather McCaig in the Swan Township, Section 17, Township 24, Range 20. The applicants request an appeal of the Taney County Planning Commission approval of May 17, 2010, for the Majors Commercial Development Auto Shop. History is that a permit was issued by the planning staff to Bill and Kelly Majors for a commercial development to include a used car facility with shop, a tire store with a light repair facility, a motorcycle sales and repair facility with a fourth building to be yet to be determined. General description, the subject property is located at 13159 State Highway 160. The adjoining property to the request consists of commercial, residential, and agricultural. Review, the applicants maintain that the Division 2 permit was issued before the Division 3 permit, that the property owner did not have proof of ownership, the legal description was not accurate, the applicant started construction before permit issuance, the emergency waiver is not legal, the Division 3 permit is unlawful under state statute, and the applicants feel their rights were violated because the proper procedures were not followed. Summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this appeal, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. Number one, permit number 10-3 is revoked. That will not be correct there. This the permit would be the original Division 3. Let me get you that number for the record. I believe it's 10-7 was the original Division 3. That's what you would be revoking if that's the case. 10-3 would be revoked and property restored to its original state. That's 7. All other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code would need to be met, and the decision of record would be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. As always, we, of course, are trying to orient your way properly. Dan, you've got the video for that.
Yeah,
we'll
go ahead.
Okay. This is, if you leave the courthouse here and you head out toward Highway H, this is where Highway H comes in, and you go right around the corner there. This is the property off to the right-hand side. If you've been out there recently, of course, you'll notice that this area here has several buildings in it and a tire shop and stuff like that. You will see that. So this was the property in question that was purchased. Planning and zoning did require as part, because Mr. Majors is going to build his residence back here, that this piece of property be split off from the rest of it. Next slide, Dan. Just a bigger view of that same thing, so that you can see it. And then one more time, Dan. And we're going to have this slide here. And the only reason this slide is here, this red is the different commercial. This is the project property here and the actual project area here. And one of the requirements is that we have some kind of commercial compatibility many times. And this would just kind of be indicative of what is commercial in the area. The commercial requirement is within 1,000 feet of this property at that particular time as it was presented. Got the video? I hope it's longer than that. This is the property that it's on, where the McCaigs live here. This property over here is owned by somebody else. I believe that's just about what the property line is on that. And that really is about all you need to see, I think. I don't think we're going to take you behind here. I don't remember if we did or not. Did we drive? We may have driven around back. Let me see if we did.
Oh, no,
you're
no.
Right at the
end.
Yeah, that's it.
So the back retaining wall and that last shot is the property line on the east.
Dan, if you'll go back to the retaining walls you saw on both sides are sides that would actually when if you'll bring that up again, Dan, if you don't mind. I don't think this here is...
No, it was on the other side.
Okay, on the sides, down on this side and down on this side are side property lines and past this building.
Right there.
This is a retaining wall for here. This actually steps up to another building here, and I believe on the other side there's one more.
Right.
It goes all the way, Dan, to flip back to your overhead. In this area here, their property line goes up to where this little house is there, and that house is there, and they have installed a wooden privacy fence for the time. Now, when this was presented to us, I don't know if this is still the plan, this was going to be purchased by Mr. Majors after January of the year, but he's our board still required a privacy fence where this joins residential for this time period until that actually happens. So the last building goes kind of right in here. And everything. I don't believe on this film that was out at the time. They're still working on the site, so you didn't see that. Let's wait and see if they want that and everything. So, let me give you a timeline as I understand it and what happened here. I was driving out on the February 19th out Highway 160, and I noticed some culvert work going on, and of course as our business is, whenever I see anything like that, I always stop just to see what's going on. So I stopped to inquire as to what was happening. And there was a culvert being put in the ditch there to allow for a driveway. MoDOT was aware of this culvert. I don't know that MoDOT was doing the installation or anything like that, but they were aware of it, and this culvert was going in. The installation of the culvert, of course, requires no permit or anything like that from our office. But I began to talk with people on site there as to what was going on, and had been informed that that there was going to be some commercial development going on into this area. So I looked around, talked to the people. I went back to my office and sent a letter to the current listed owner of record at that particular time, which was the Whitleys, on that same day to the 19th. On the 23rd, because the 19th was, I believe, a Friday, on the 23rd of February, I got a phone call from Mr. Whitley. He told me we don't own this property anymore. We've sold that to a Mr. Majors, and so I wanted to let you know that. I told him that I had sent him the letter because the county records had not been updated in the computer at that particular time. But that same afternoon, Mr. Majors came in to see me, and because the Whitleys had contacted him, and I asked him what was going on out there, and he said we're going to be doing this. And I said, there's permits required for this, and he said no, we're in the unincorporated areas of Taney County. And I said, I understand that. I work for the unincorporated areas of Taney County, and we need some permits. So we began to go through what he wanted to do and everything like that. Explained to him that he would need land grading permits, he would need to go through our Division 3 process, and that he would need building permits. So explained the timeline to him that it was going to be about 60 days, and which began to cause him some discomfort because of his timeline that he'd already established. So we went through all this, and Mr. Majors asked if there was anything else that could be done. I said, as far as my office is concerned, no, sir, there's nothing we can do. He said, can I talk to the commissioners? And I said, well, the only thing they have at their availability is what something they used in the past called an emergency waiver, but you'd have to prove to them that this is an emergency. So you're welcome to go and see them. And Mr. Majors did go and visit with them, and they agreed to have their hearing, so they posted a meeting for their emergency waiver. And then got that on their docket for their meeting. In the meantime, on the 25th of February, Mr. Major submitted to us a Division 3 application. I reviewed the application and what it was going to do. And then on March the 5th, the Taney County Commission held a public meeting for the emergency waiver request at 9 a.m. I appeared before that commission and informed them that in the review that I've done of the project, it did not at that time violate any of our absolute policies, because if there's any absolute policies that are violated, we will not take a project before our board, let alone to the commission for an emergency waiver. Commissioners that were there, it was Mr. Straubus by phone and Mr. Pennell in person, began to talk with Mr. Majors about that. They made the motion to allow the emergency waiver and instructed us to proceed with the issuance, allow Mr. Majors to build start his first building, but with the understanding that Mr. Majors would have to complete the Division 3 process. And in the event that that project was found to be unsuitable, that he would have to return the land to the original state. So Mr. Majors understood that he was proceeding at his own risk in that situation. So once they passed emergency waiver, a Division 2 application was submitted to us on 3/11, it was submitted to us, I believe, on 3 and 5. We went through our process, posted the property, and on 3/11 we held what we call public hearings in our office, where that meeting is recorded and everything. And on 3/11, the Division 2 permit 10-05 was issued for the building. At that particular time, Mr. Majors had already gotten his land disturbance permit, because the land disturbance permit is not tied to any Division 3 or anything like that. The land disturbance permit can be obtained by anybody at any time. It's just to ensure that sediment erosion controls are handled properly. Before an acre of ground was disturbed, Mr. Majors did have his land disturbance permit. He was informed until the Division 2 permit was issued, he could not come out of the ground with the building. He did have a form set, but he was not out of the ground, to my knowledge, until that permit was issued. On 3 and 15, the land disturbance permit was applied for and issued, and also was the sewer permit on that same date. On 4 and 1, we had our pre-application for Division 3 to go over the project again with Mr. Majors before we go into our series of meetings with the Planning Commission Board. On 4/19, Mr. Majors appeared for his concept hearing before the Planning Commission. They told him to proceed on to public hearing, so the notices were put in the paper, letters were sent out, the different things like that, and the property posted. On 5 and 10, the public hearing was before the Planning Commission, where they heard the project and the public was in. The public did state they felt like that this was kind of an after-the-fact meeting. They did see buildings going up, and they didn't have any input into that until after what they felt was too late. That was explained to them in that meeting that the commission had granted emergency waiver for that to proceed. But if the project was not found to be a good project at that time, the Planning Commission still could disapprove the project. 5 and 17 was our regular meeting where they vote. The commission did choose to vote to approve that project. On 6 and 8, the decision of record was recorded in the recorder's office. And on 8 and 13, this appeal was filed with Taney County, with our Planning Commission office, at 88 days. So it is from the date of the grant of the Division 3 permit. So it is within its legal limit to be heard.
All right. Thank you for that commentary. I have five persons that would like to speak tonight. Would you like to stand and I'll swear you in? Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in this case tonight is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you very much. The McKays are here. John Price is listed as the first person here. Is that all right for him to speak, Mr. McKay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mr. Price?
Thanks, sir. First of all, I guess I just have a few questions for Mr. Coxey. You've got, I think, Exhibit 1 was the Taney County Development Guidance Code. And at page 15 of the code, there's a section 4.1.2 and 4.1.3. 4.1.2 Subparagraph A says that a Division II permit is required for any new commercial, industrial, or institutional uses that have been issued a Division III permit. Is that right?
Bob, is he supposed to address this to the commission? Or?
No. By the bylaws, actually, he can cross-examine
okay, that's fine.
Witnesses. I mean, you're trying to prove a few points. I could probably go right through it real quick for you and prove most of what you're saying.
I'm not asking him to prove up the code. My only point is that the code requires that when there's a new commercial facility, you have to get a Division II permit, correct?
Commercial buildings in Taney County require, yes, sir.
And that is what this is a commercial building, a new one.
Correct.
And this provision says that before you get a Division II permit, you are to have been issued a Division III permit, right?
That is how it stated in the code book, yes, sir.
Okay. And what happened here was a Division II permit, I believe you just told us, was issued on March the 11th,
yes,
correct?
Sir. That is correct.
And there was no Division III permit issued as of that date, true?
That is correct.
Okay. And then the next section, 4.1.3 on page 15 of the code, says that a Division III permit is required for any land use change, correct?
Yes, sir.
And this is a land use change to put up these commercial buildings?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you about this emergency waiver, and we submitted exhibits to the commission. The emergency waiver document is exhibit number 3. This emergency waiver form, first of all, says that it's an automobile sales lot and shop and a tire shop with oil changes and minor repairs and two spec buildings, right? And when you were reading your staff report a little earlier, you referred to a motorcycle shop. That's the first time I've seen the motorcycle shop referenced anywhere in the record. It's not in this emergency waiver, is it?
No, sir, it's not.
And it wasn't in the Division II or the Division III application, was it?
I'll have to go back and look at it. It was one of the spec buildings.
Okay. Did you prepare this emergency waiver form?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And where in the Taney County Development Guidance Code does it say that an emergency waiver of a Division III permit can be granted?
The emergency waiver is not part of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. It is an operation of the Taney County Commission.
Okay. And are you aware of what state statute gives the Taney County Commission authority to grant this emergency waiver?
I am not.
Okay. When I was asking for the records, I'm sorry, for the procedures, I was sent what we've labeled as Exhibit 16. If you could turn over to that. That's a legal memorandum to the Planning Commission Board of Adjustment members back in May 17 of 2000. Exhibit number 16, I'm sorry. Should be about 4 or 5 pages from the end, right before the photographs.
Okay.
Okay. This is a memo that was sent to the Board of Adjustment members back in May of 2000 about non-use variances, correct?
That's what it says, yes, sir.
Okay. Is this what is being relied on as the authority to grant this emergency waiver?
I personally have not seen this before, sir, other than as soon as you
okay.
So I cannot say yes, sir.
So you weren't relying on this,
no, sir.
Correct? If this emergency waiver back here, Exhibit 3, that we looked at a few minutes ago, is that a variance?
It's a waiver. This is what the commission uses to allow, the elected commission uses to allow a project that they deem has a the merit or what they would consider emergency to allow it to proceed until it can make it through the process.
Okay. There is a provision in your Taney County Development Code for variances, isn't there?
Yes, sir. That's what this board does.
And that's at page 21 of exhibit number 15. And it is very similar to what was read to us at the beginning, right out of the state statute about variances.
That is correct. Yes.
And basically what it says is that this board, the Board of Adjustment, can grant variances from the code if there's something about the property, narrowness or shallowness or shape or topography, that would cause some undue hardship, right?
Yes, sir. That's what their statute says.
But there's nothing in your code that says that the Planning and Zoning Commission can grant a variance. It's this board that grants variances, right?
And the Planning and Zoning Commission did not grant a variance.
And the Taney County Commission doesn't grant variances either. This board grants variances, correct?
And I'm not going to agree with that they granted a variance. They granted a waiver.
I understand. I'm just wanting to make sure what we're not talking about here.
This is the board that grants variances to our board.
Mr. Price, also, we're the board that you're going to be making the decision on.
Yes, sir.
And we should be addressed also, not just Mr. Coxey. So
this
information that you're pointing to him should also include us.
I will be addressing my remarks to you in just a second. I just wanted to make sure that Mr. Coxey and I are on the same page.
Well, we
as
also
to what it
be
is
sure
we're talking
to.
About here.
Right.
So, okay. So do we all agree then that this emergency waiver document is not a variance, either under the definition in the state statute or the definition of the Taney County Development Guidance Code? And do you agree with me on that, Mr. Coxey?
I would see it as a waiver from the procedure.
Okay. And in fact, a variance under Section 7.1 here, it says that variances must be based on the rejection of an application for a permit. As of the time this emergency waiver was granted, there had been no permit application rejected for the majors, had there?
No, sir.
I also want to ask you real quickly just about the Division 2 permit application, which is exhibit number 11 in the packet that we submitted. Mr. Coxey, that Division 2 permit application was filed by the majors on March the 15th, is that right?
That is the date on the application. Yes,
and if you look at the next page of it, right in the middle of the page, it says description of request, and it says metal building for repair, and right after that it says number of units 1, and after that it says buildings 1, correct?
That is correct.
I haven't been able to find anything in your file that says they were going to build 4 buildings when they got this Division 2 permit.
Division 2 permits are issued by the footprint, sir. And so each building out there will have a separate permit.
Okay. Well, how many Division 2 permits have been issued then?
I would think by this time there's probably been at least 3.
Okay. Well, we've only seen the one.
That's maybe all you asked for.
Well, I thought we ought to ask for all of them, but what happened here, isn't it correct, sir, that the land use of this property was changed before any permits were issued, correct?
No, sir, I would not say that.
Well, I'm sorry, what's wrong with that statement?
I would just like to ask a question. Are you asking them whether the property owners changed their use of the land, or are you asking them whether there was a legal determination that the land use had been changed?
Well, okay, I agree with you. First of all, the land owners started the change of the use of this property before any permits were issued, true?
The land owners had their intention was to build a commercial structure out there. They had not begun any buildings or anything until after the emergency waiver was granted by the commission, if I'm understanding you correctly.
But before any actual permit was issued, let's set the emergency waiver aside for a second. Before any actual permit was issued, they were out there building and had changed the land use.
No, sir.
I thought you said they were.
No, you said.
They were. I thought no. The first time you were out there was.
The first time I was out there, they were putting in a culvert. That does not require a permit.
Okay.
And they did not require any kind of other permit until an acre of ground had been disturbed, but they did have that permit in place before that happened.
Okay. If I could just address the members of the commission then directly, what we're contending is that there is no provision, either in state statutes or anywhere in the Taney County Development Guidance Code, that provides for this emergency waiver of a requirement that you get a Division III permit before you start construction and before you get a Division II permit. Missouri state law is that a municipal governing body like this board or like the Taney County Commission only has the powers that are specifically granted it by state statute. And absent the statute and absent anything in the Taney County Development Guidance Code, which provides for any sort of an emergency waiver, it's simply not a valid legal procedure. And so what we have here is a situation where this property land use was changed before anybody got a chance to have a public hearing. And the state statute, which I've included in the packet, says that where a county's adopted planning and zoning, no land use can be changed without the issuance of a proper permit. And it is the obligation of the zoning authority to make sure that no land use is changed without a permit. Here, it's our position that the Taney County Commission and the Planning and Zoning Commission granted a permit in violation of the procedures that are established by Missouri statutes and by the Taney County Development Guidance Code itself. The reason it's important is, in the process, the first thing that's supposed to happen when you're going to change land use from residential or agricultural to commercial is you're supposed to have a public hearing. That's what the statutes say. That's what your own guidance code says. And at that public hearing, all of the issues about what this new development's going to look like are supposed to be aired in public, and the people that are being affected by it are to have an opportunity to appear and have their concerns heard. Here, the horse was way out of the barn before any public hearing was ever held. A Division II permit was issued before a Division III permit, and the property was essentially, two of the buildings were practically finished, and the other two were already pads and foundations with all the dirt work all done, before any public hearing was held. That is an unlawful procedure, and it has denied my clients, the McCaigs, who are directly across the street from it, their rights to procedural due process of law under Missouri state statutes and Taney County's own code. We've not been given any information that indicates that this emergency waiver is authorized anywhere by state law. The only thing that state law says is you can have a variance. And you all are fully aware, I think, of the statute about the variance because it was read out here just tonight. The only time a variance can apply is there's something unique to the property itself because it's too narrow, it's too steep, something about the shape of it prohibits the applicant from being able to do what they want to do and prohibits them from a good use of their property. Under those circumstances where there's hardship associated with the property itself, a variance can be granted. But the statute and this Exhibit 16, this legal memo that this board received from the county councilor back in 2000, says repeatedly that Personal inconvenience is not a ground for a variance. So this can't be a variance. If it is, it's an unlawful variance. So it's our position that an unlawful procedure has been followed in this whole case, because a Division II permit should never have been granted before going through the proper procedure for a Division III. And there's no basis, no lawful basis for an emergency waiver of the Division III. I do have two other very brief witnesses that I'd like to call on behalf of the appellant.
Are they on the list here?
They are.
All right. Would anybody have any questions of Mr. Price at this time? Would it be fair to say, Mr. Coxey and Mr. Paulson, that a legislative body such as the Tannehill County Commission has the authority to change land use?
I think they're the only one that has the authority to change land use.
They're the only ones that have changed the land use. All right. I thought that was the case, notwithstanding the timeline.
Yes. Or the procedures.
Or the procedures, right.
Okay. I could.
Bob?
Yeah, could we reserve the right to ask the question later?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Also, is there anything in the Missouri Code that precludes the commissioners from establishing a waiver procedure?
What he cited, what Mr. Price cited, was the Gillen rule. And basically, the rule set down by many cases is that the inferior bodies to the state, political subdivisions, only have those powers which are specifically granted to them. Otherwise, they don't have those powers. But I would add to the Dillon rule, and that it has changed some. It's not only those powers that are granted to them, but those necessary to carry out the powers that are granted to them as well. But I understand his argument that under that rule, his argument is that the county commission does not have the authority to grant an emergency waiver, and that's his contention.
Okay. And Mr. Coxey, do you know how long the emergency waiver has been in existence, as far as you're aware?
I've traced this thing back and saw it used, I think, the first time that I have found. I hear there's some older times than this, but in March of 2004, and I can find about probably four or five different times that was used. Again, it always under the auspices of the county commission, with the instructions to allow a project to proceed forward. With the understanding that it did have to go through the proper procedures of planning and zoning, and with the instruction, this is at the developer's own risk.
Okay. And the warning given them, what we're talking about as a risk, is that if it doesn't get approved, right, they'll have to tear the whole thing down. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Thank you. You may call your witness.
Thank you. If I could just make one more very brief comment about what Mr. Coxey just said. The mere fact that the county commission has used this three or four times does not mean that it's lawful. It just means nobody's ever challenged it before.
Understood.
Would it be appropriate? I think it'd be quicker for me if, in calling these witnesses, if I ask them questions and they respond to them, rather than just having them try to do a narrative of a testimony. Is that all right?
I mean, that's what our bylaws say. I mean, it's up to the chair.
If it would expedite things, that's what I think we would be interested in.
I'd ask Mr. McCaig to come forward.
All right. And Ms. McCaig, would you spell your last name for the record?
McKaig.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. McCaig, first of all, exhibit number one, which we filed, is a map from the assessor's office that has your property outlined in blue, correct?
Yes.
And your property lies directly across the street from the development.
Yes.
And then, Mr. McKaig, I want to direct your attention to exhibits 18 through 22 that we filed. And these are photographs. On exhibit 18, there are photographs 1, 2, and 3. Can you very briefly describe what those show to the members of the commission?
Water drainage from the property across the street that's adding to my water problem on my side of the street, where the only ditch that works is in front of the culvert coming from across the road, and it's filling up the ditch and washing out my, eroding my property.
Okay, then on the next page, photographs 4 and 5 on Exhibit 19, is that also water draining off of the development property?
Yes, sir.
Then on Exhibit 20, photographs 6, 7, and 8, what does that show?
Well, I've been trying to build up my land to prevent washout, and now you can see that it's getting washed out anyhow, so I've stopped working on the property until I can correct the erosion.
Was this erosion occurring before the development started across the street?
Yes, it was, but the thing is that was when my land was not built up across the ditch. There's a culvert there. I've always had a problem with the water coming from across the road. So I built my property up to prevent it from washing out my land. And it worked until they changed the ditch across the property and added drainage from the property into the ditch. And now I can't build my side of the property high enough to prevent the water from washing it out.
Okay, then on Exhibit 21, photos 9 and 10, or is that more... more evidence of the erosion that's happening on your property now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then photograph 11 on Exhibit 21 and photographs 12, 13, and 14 on Exhibit 22. Those are all photographs of motorcycles, right?
Yes, sir.
And are there a number of motorcycles across the street from you at the development now?
Yes, sir.
Is that a noise issue for you and your family?
Yes, sir.
Was there anything in the public hearing notices or the application documents that the majors filed that indicated they were going to have a motorcycle shop over there?
No, sir.
That's all the questions I have.
I have a few for Linda.
I do too.
First of all, Ms. McCaig, the culvert that drains from the property across the street to you was installed by MoDOT many years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? Under the highway?
Yes, sir.
And if I'm not mistaken, MoDOT did contact you because you had built a retention area at the end of the pond and they were concerned about that?
No, sir. MoDOT has never contacted me.
Was there some obstructions in that pipe when I believe?
Yeah, there was a blanket that blew in from the other side of the road. My neighbor said, do you want to remove
you
it?
Have,
and I
you
said,
have,
I'm not touching
you
it.
Have built up an area on your property at the end of that pipe, which does impede the way the water used to drain.
I am protecting my property from being
just a
washed
yes or no, out. You have or have not.
Yes, I built my property.
That's what I thought. Okay, you were at the public hearing.
Yes, sir.
And at the public hearing, they did mention there was going to be a motorcycle shop there. Mm-hmm. At that particular time, they did. A tire shop, a car lot, a motorcycle shop, and a spec building to be announced later.
I don't know if they mentioned motorcycle shop.
I can get you the tape on that.
Okay.
But you don't recall.
I don't remember.
Okay, that's what I need to make sure.
Thank you. Somebody else?
How long have you owned the property?
Since 1979, I moved in.
Have you had any businesses run out of that particular location?
I guess I'll object to that question. I don't know that it has anything to do with the appeal of the development across the street.
Fair enough. I know the answer.
Mr. McKay, the property across the street, actually, when you turn in the driveway, it actually slopes away from the highway down toward the new buildings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
So the water coming down through that culvert drains down both sides of that highway down to there. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, sir.
So the development, actually, where the parking lot and everything is lower than the road and that culvert.
Well, I'm going to answer that. Okay.
I've got pictures of it.
Oh, I'm glad you do. You didn't take the pictures before they put that road in because that was a low spot right there. And when the ditch filled up with water, it ran north. Okay? And when they put that road in there, they dammed that low spot up. So all the water that used to go north on the property now is directed under the culvert towards my property. But right there, if you had taken a picture, you know, in the beginning of where that before they changed the land, that was the lowest spot on the property. There wasn't hardly any land built up there, so the water, when it came down the ditch, and it came down in a flood, a lot of it went to the north. But now they built all that up and put culverts in, and now all that water that used to go to the north comes to my side of the property.
But all that water travels through the ditch is provided by MoDOT for drainage of that road.
Not all of it. The motorcycle shop is directing their parking lot water down into the ditch.
Do you have any...
David?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Other than the pictures, do you have any engineering surveys or anything that show this water?
No, sir, I don't.
So am I hearing the water is humping the road?
No, sir. There's a culvert underneath this road. There's a ditch that runs alongside the highway there. I think Mr. McCaig would agree, and I haven't checked the motorcycle. I mean, the shop at the very end there, I don't know if it does feed into that or not, but the development property is lower than the road, and so the water that's coming down through there is coming down the ditches from both directions. Now, I don't have a contention that with this new culvert that MoDOT put in that allows the water from the one side to flow underneath that driveway to this culvert. It may not have used to have done it. I don't know. But it was put in by MoDOT, and that is their ditch and their drainage system.
So that part's their problem?
That's their drainage system. That one culvert has been under the road for years and years.
Okay. Bob?
I was just going to ask that, other than the emergency waiver and the Division 2 permit, once those were done, I mean, this went through a Division 3 hearing.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And after, at that point, the procedures were followed from that point until today. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is correct. So the contention here should be the start of the project under the emergency waiver.
I saw a couple of points that...
I mean, these issues we're talking about here as far as stormwater and everything we're addressing.
There were some issues not brought up, and he's going to probably bring them up, or maybe he's not, that the property, there was no proof of ownership, and that it wasn't adequately described.
I think he indicated that we had a wrong section number on there. As I've explained to you, the property, the document that I pulled and sent the letter to the Whitleys was due to the fact that the warranty deed, although recorded in January of 2010, had not been entered into the computer system at the time that in February, when I on the 19th of February.
Did the applicants own the property?
Yes, sir. The warranty deed. I have a copy of the warranty deed here. And it is dated as recorded on 1/19/2010 from the Stephen R. and Marcy I. Whitley, Christopher Whitley, a single person, as grantors to Bill and Kelly Majors as grantees.
Okay. So he provided proof of ownership and satisfied, and that was presented at the planning and zoning, and you did provide proof of ownership. And you have proof that the applicant has owned the property since before the
Before I ever contacted him, yes, sir.
Okay. In the legal description, you described, and that's all I wanted to ask
him. All right. Thank you very much.
If I could follow up on that, just one quick question. The legal description that was in the staff file and the application contained the wrong section number, didn't it?
That's what you intended, yes, sir.
Okay. Next, I'd like to call Charlie Beck as a witness.
Mr. Beck? Would you spell your last name for the record?
B-E-C-K.
Thank you.
Mr. Beck, just so the record's clear, you live in Taney County?
Yes, sir.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm fire inspector for the Taney County Fire, and I also have a construction business.
Could you speak up a little bit? So we're having this recorded, and I can't very hear you.
I'm a building inspector for Central Taney County Fire, and I also have a construction business of my own.
Thank you.
But I've since retired, actually.
You went out to this construction site on May the 20th and inspected the auto shop building, is that right?
Yes.
And what did you note about that building during your inspection?
When I walked in the overhead door, in between the overhead doors, there's a big metal beam that goes up to hold the roof up and everything. And in the concrete, they're supposed to have 5/8 bolts, according to the print that they gave me, that holds the beams to the concrete in case of wind or anything like that. In the hole, it's of course 5/8 in diameter, and it was probably a 3/8 bolt in there. And I asked Mr. Major, or I'm not sure it was him I asked, or whoever was there, because every time
I'm going to object to this, Bob. This is after the fact of what we're looking at, our emergency waiver.
Yeah.
I believe this has nothing to do with whether a permit was granted or not granted. Yeah, this is after the fact.
The building's not put up to life safety.
That has nothing to do with the issuance of our.
What I'm offering it for is that, you know, we've got this history with this project where the developer has not followed your codes, nor has he followed the codes of the fire department, and it's a pattern here.
What other things would he attest to that were done incorrectly?
I think that's the issue.
Right now, he's made one claim. Are there others?
No, there are not additional claims of things wrong. But if I can summarize his testimony.
So we're looking at a 3/8 versus a 5/8 bolt. One, two.
Well, there's two different beams that I've seen. Now, I never looked at them all. I just two of them.
Well, if you're inspecting and you've seen two, why wouldn't you look at all of them?
Because they already had the drywall up on the inside, and I couldn't see the rest of them. They hadn't covered up.
Okay.
Mr. Beck, you're an inspector for the Fire Department?
Yes, sir.
But you're not an IDC certified building code inspector, is that correct?
Fire inspector. I am.
The bolts aren't part of the fire code, though, are they?
Well, yeah, it's a life safety issue, yes, sir.
They're part of the fire code section of the IBC.
All of IBC comes out of the fire code book.
It sounds to me like we're trying to enforce some building codes here, which Taney County does not enforce building codes. Mr. Beck, I would like to know, are you IBC certified to inspect their
codes? Three different things, yes.
What three things is that?
I'm a plumbing inspector.
Okay.
And I'm an electrical inspector.
Okay.
And I have the papers to prove it over at the shop.
Okay.
There, and concrete.
So you're not structural?
It all falls into the
structure. No, Mr. Beck, you're not structural. Is that, you're not IBC certified?
I don't have a certification saying structural, yes, sir.
And does Taney County enforce any electrical codes?
Yes.
Not through the planning and zoning, though, so that not?
Well, we always have required an outside disconnect for life safety.
And that may be a part of your fire, but have we ever required anything other than a permit?
Well, the question is Taney County, but the simple Taney County fire. May enforce some things, but
yes.
Taney County doesn't enforce any of those things.
But as far as the bolts are concerned, you're not really IBC certified to enforce that.
In our fire district, we can enforce it.
But you're not IBC certified to enforce the IBC code, or to inspect that IBC code for structural.
Not for structural.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Mr. Beck, you were out there on May the 20th and noted that. You went back on July the 15th, July the 22nd, August the 5th, and August the 12th, and the issue never got corrected, correct?
That's correct.
And you've never issued a certificate of occupancy for these buildings, have you?
No, sir.
But yet they've been open and operating now for over 2 months without ever getting a certificate of occupancy. Is that right?
From the fire department, that's correct.
That's all the questions I have for Mr. Beck.
Thank you. Anybody from the board would like to address you?
Right here.
All right. Thank you very much.
This is the building permit.
That's what? Yes.
And this is the building permit for the auto shop building?
Yes.
And when was it issued?
3/8/10.
March 8th.
Yep.
Which I would just note for the record is before the Division 2 or the Division 3 permit. They're getting building permits. And members of the commission, my point to this is that we have a situation here where the developer has tried to cut corners on this deal from the very beginning. He's out there operating even today without a certificate of occupancy on his buildings. The fact is, the procedure that was used here is not authorized by state law, and it's not authorized by your own code, and it's our position that, you really don't have any other choice, as harsh as it may seem or as unpleasant as it may seem. This board is sworn to uphold the law, and the law says this was an unlawful, improper procedure, and these permits were not properly issued. And the only thing you can do is revoke them. Thank you.
If I can, before Mr. Beck steps away, the permit that he mentioned, 3810, was the one issued by Mr. Beck, by the fire district. Our permit was issued, I believe, on the Division 2 that we issued was issued on 315. It's not uncommon, and actually, Mr. Beck would review what he needs to review and issue them a permit to give us a copy of that before the construction is actually started.
So. Okay. So was anything, and that's still within an appropriate procedure?
Yeah, we didn't issue our Division 2 at that particular time under the emergency waiver until 315, I believe. The application was made before that, but the permit wasn't issued until 315.
Thank you. The gentleman had indicated you might have a question for me. I'd be glad to try to answer any questions you've got.
No, I'll just reserve the right for
okay. Okay. That's the presentation that the applicant has.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Price. Scott Puckett. And likewise, would you spell the last name?
P-U-C-K-E-T-T.
Thank you.
I live in the house over there that's just on the other side of the property. You can see that house with the slab poured there.
There's a right there, if you push the red button.
Right there, that's the house and the property that I own.
All right.
We were given the opportunity to stand up here and back at the hearing and tell about our concerns. I think the concern that most people had was that this Bill Majors actually runs a business called Baker Klaus. I run a business. A lot of other people run businesses, and everybody knows that you need to get a permit. Well, his poor excuse was he didn't know he needed it. Okay. Then later on in the meeting or in the hearing, he made the comment that, and I don't know the exact words, but it was something as if he drove around Forsyth and he looked at the houses and the buildings, and the way they looked, he didn't think he needed a permit to build the buildings. And we saw two buildings go up. We saw a slab poured for a third building before anybody got any letters. And I just don't think that's the right way that this should be done. I think that, you know, everybody should have their fair chance at agreeing or disagreeing to any project that's being put up. You know, and it's hardship on everybody. I've had two or three letters in the mail since this deal about different things. I've had my septic laterals dug up out of the ground by Bill Majors over me getting up and talking and trying to hold up for my property rights. So what I'm trying to say is they're vindictive, and I think they knew from the get-go that if they put these buildings up, that nobody would make them take them down. And I think they just think they got everybody in a basket, you know, and that's really all I have to say.
All right.
Mr. Puckett, before you leave,
yeah,
you made the statement that everyone knows you need to get a permit.
That's correct.
You live at 303 State Highway 8.
That is correct.
You also stated you run a business. And
that's
that
correct.
Location. Is that correct? And you got the proper permits to run that business at the property.
Well, hold on.
Hey, please. We're listening to this witness only.
My question is, he stated that everyone knew that they needed a permit, but he also stated that he runs a business. My question is, did he get his proper permit to run that business at that location?
My statement is, if you're going to build a garage or you're going to build a building or you're going to add on to your home, most people that run a business know that you need to obtain a permit to do so. I do run a business. I moved here 5 years ago. I went into the municipal building, and I asked for a contractor's license. Well, they told me they didn't have one. Okay, so where I came from, you had to have them. So I talked them into making me one that day. I paid $25, and I got it.
Is that from the city of Forsyth?
That's in the municipal building is where I went.
Is it the city, though, rather than the county?
It was a city permit.
Okay.
Which they said they didn't have, but they said they'd make me one. And they did so. I went in 2 weeks ago. I asked for the same permit. And I was told again, you do not need a permit to do work inside Forsyth, which I think is wrong. You know, you can't maintain your work. You can't have anybody, nobody comes around and checks to see what work's done right.
Where's your comment?
He's talking about the inside the city limits of Forsyth. And, of course, I'm not, what they do inside the city limits of Forsyth is none of my business. My question just is, did he, just as Mr. Majors has gone through this process, did he go through this process and get a permit to do his business there? Because he said everybody knows you need a permit.
To build a building.
You said everybody knows you need a permit.
Okay, well, let's get the story straight.
Did you get a permit to...
Let him have floor.
Okay.
Did you get a permit to do your business there?
I got a permit to build my building.
Did you get a permit to do your business there?
Well, let me tell you, no, I didn't.
That's all I need to know. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do they send out letters to everyone that runs a business from their home saying that they need to do this?
When it comes to our attention, yes, sir, we do.
When it comes to your attention?
Yes, sir.
Like when a guy stands up for his rights in a hearing about a property that's built illegally, you stand up, you talk about it, and a week later you get a letter in the mail. That's how this works.
That's how you see it, Mr. Puckett, but it was actually a person that came in and requested that we check that out.
Who was that?
You're welcome to come to the office and check our records.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
But when it boils down to it, when a man gets up here, stands up for his rights, then they come after you, whether it be right or wrong. There's thousands of businesses running in the county of Forsyth, Taney County. They came after two people. One of them was me. The other person stood up here and talked to you. Nobody else got a letter. I do work for hundreds of them. Pinpointing is not a good thing.
My records would indicate otherwise, but yes, sir. I understand what you're saying.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Jennifer Puckett. Are you related to Mr. Puckett?
I'm his wife.
Thank you. I live
at the same property. I apologize for interrupting, but...
That's all right.
I was to understand that we're here for the buildings of Bill Majors, not for someone else having a permit. When we got our notices in the mail and all of our paperwork, the meeting was on May 10th, and saying that they came in for their inspection on March 8th, there were buildings up before that meeting ever came to light. You never seen two buildings go up so fast in your life. And on the emergency waiver form, there's no mention of a motorcycle shop. And on the back where it's filled out, we have the first building package being delivered on February 30th. I've never known a year to have more than 27, 28 days in February. The dates are not even correct on here. And then I also have the rejecting of the permits and the Missouri codes and everything that we've listened to. It shouldn't matter who you are, who you're related to, where you work, how much money you have, or what, whether or not you have a business. Everyone is supposed to be required by law to follow the same guidelines and codes. They did not do that. I hope you do look at the meeting from before and look at the video and see what was said by all parties, the pictures, the dates of the permits. There needs to be, somebody needs to get a very large poster board and mark out these dates, because they don't jive at all. There were, and another thing, look up Baker Klaus Construction on the computer. I did so the 10th, right after we left here. That's the first thing I did, is went home and did that. They have a very professional website. They've done a lot of work, and I want to know where they've done any work that they were not required to get a permit first. And on another note, on Wednesdays I go for my allergy shots at Branson, and I work over here at the school, so usually I travel 160 to H Highway, and that's it. Last Wednesday I noticed in front of the shops that they were shoveling at the culvert by the mailboxes and where that water runs down. And it just seems like nobody's listening to anything we say at all, and it's very disappointing. It's very upsetting. I'm sorry, I have notes here, but I do believe, I know that Stone and Stone County did away with their planning and zoning. We need planning and zoning, but it needs to be the same codes, the same guidelines for every person, every citizen, regardless. The council themselves needs to stand up for what is right. We've heard rumors, which is, I know all I can say that they are, that there were threats of suing if the permits were not given. If a fire inspector goes to any government, council, or person and states that bolts were cut off that are a safety issue, it's just ignored. I mean, there's a reason he inspects things. And to say what he inspects and what he doesn't, some people are allowed to say things about what's going on here and then other people aren't, that's not right either. The buildings were up before any notices were put in the papers at all. Nobody knew anything about it. My in-laws took every single paper and kept every single one of them, and we went through them all, and there was nothing until after the fact of it all being up. None of us were notified of anything until it was already done. We were threatened the 10th outside this door that our laterals run across the line of the property that was sold and something would be done about it, and it has. They are putting a driveway in, so they drove a backhoe, dug a big hole, and the septic line is broken and it's leaking onto their property. They ran to the sewer department. They contacted my husband about it, and it wasn't damaged by us. It's not our problem, and they're supposed to, I guess, pay a fee, a fine, whatever. But threats are being carried out already. So, and I'm really worried about what's going to happen after this. I think that's all I have to say before I get upset. And I apologize for interrupting earlier.
That's quite all right. Any questions for Ms. Puckett?
All right. Ms. Puckett is correct in that there were no notifications put in the newspaper until the Division 3 process was started, because it does make allowance when those go in after the concept hearing and everything. So she is correct that they did see buildings going up before that actual Division 3 process did start.
I do have one more, if I may.
Do you still have the floor? You still
okay.
Have the floor?
We got the letters of compliance, like my husband said, which when he did call and talk to Mr. Coxey, he was told that we needed a permit to run a business out of our home. My husband does gutter. He drives his truck out of the driveway, goes to the job, does his work, comes home, parks his truck in the garage, sits in his chair, makes these phone calls or makes out bills. That's it. There's no walk-on in customers. And another resident received a letter with a whole different tone. It was more, as far as I'm concerned, more threatening. If a letter's to be sent out, it should be pretty much word for word the same, if it's for the same reason. We were also told that we would comply, and if we didn't, that we'll come after you. Straight out word for word. And then when we told Mr. Coxey that we had drove around that night and found several businesses, he asked my husband to give him a list of the businesses, which we will not do. But it's, as far as being singled out, just a few people have been singled out. There's like 8 other people in our area. They have signs in their yard of what their business is. They have advertisements of what they sell sitting in their yard. And not a single one of them has gotten a letter from the county.
I have a question.
David?
If everybody needs to adhere to the same rules, the same guidance, or the same codes and all this, mm-hmm. then if you're required to have permits to have a business, then you're obligated to follow those same rules.
Right.
So if you know somebody that is violating that, shouldn't you, if he asks you for a list of these businesses you know, according to you, isn't it your obligation to let
It's him not know? His job to drive around and look for these businesses, he said. No, it's not my obligation. I'm not paid by the county. But I mean, we're being pinpointed that we need a special use permit. What do we use our home for? We have no walk-in customers. We don't do any construction. There's a truck that parks in the garage. He gets in it. He drives to his job. That's where he conducts his business. He gets done. He packs his truck back up, drives home, pulls inside the garage, and that's where it parks. I want to know what special use we need. Also, we were told that they had come out and measured our garage and our building, and we were told we needed permits. We got the permits before we poured the concrete. He went to the light and power, and he is in compliance with all of that. So we had already done that. So if we do need a special use permit, then it should be a public notice that everyone needs one. But as far as being told, if you don't, we'll come after you. Are we supposed to be scared and run and do it? Like I said, the other people that have their signs in their yard, they're advertising their business from their yard, from their front door. They've not had one phone call or anything, and their phone numbers are on their signs. That's pinpointing. That's threatening.
This is off the subject, but the letter that I have uses the word please. Start the application process.
Ours wasn't the threatening tone. I said the other letter that was sent out, which I have.
I didn't understand.
Okay.
In search of our records does not find any approval for such a business to exist, so we are contacting you to help you bring the business at this location into compliance. To start the process for approval to operate a business. And one of these it says, so we might approve. So you might obtain proper approval. Ours didn't say might.
Okay.
But this one does, and I have a copy of that if you want it.
But again, that doesn't have anything to do with what we've got going here tonight. But as people do notify us of properties to look at, we do go and look at that. We do not try to to go out and find everything we can find.
Thank you. Any questions of anybody in particular here? Would you like the floor?
If I might, could I have one more minute?
Yes, sir.
To bring us back to the issue at hand, I would ask if Bonita could put up the video again.
Dan, I'll have to do that for you, sir. Are you going to need to stop it?
Yeah, I'm going to need to stop it real quick. As it pans around here to the east, along the highway, I'll ask you to stop it. We're not there yet. Okay, if you could stop it right there. What Mr. McCaig was referring to about the runoff is you can see all that dirt that's washed down off of the construction site by the motorcycle shop that's at the top of the hill. It's filling up this ditch down here. That's what he's talking about in terms of the volume of water runoff that didn't used to exist. That's the only point I wanted to make.
The ditch is out here, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? And this was land that was disturbed when they were actually doing land grading.
Yep.
Is that correct? So the ditch, and there was actually a grass strip left between here and the ditch. And on the days that I did go and look at that, There was, and I did have Mr. Greason from MoDOT look at that. I don't think he saw enough sediment in there to call it an issue at that particular time. And that was before we actually started our did the process and everything. But you can see that this looked right this way, but there was a grass strip left here between the ditch, which is right here by the road, and where the land was disturbed.
All right, thank you. If I may refer to the waiver form, it does specify two spec buildings without specifying a motorcycle business or motorcycle shop. So there was the intent there for additional buildings of some nature.
Yes, sir. And in the public hearing, it did come out that the one would be a motorcycle shop, and then when the use was determined for the fourth building, it would need to come back for approval.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions of any of the witnesses? If not, I'll...
Wait, I do, Eddie, what are the final dates of the approval for the Division 2 and the Division 3 permits?
Let me pull those actual so I can tell you that. The two Division 2s were issued, and I only have one of them with me, but two Division 2s were issued before no wonder I'm looking at the wrong timeline. I couldn't work, figure out why I have my dates wrong. Two Division 2s were issued before the 17th of May. One that I have in front of me was issued 3, it looks like 3 and 11 is what I see. Division permit number 10-5, 3 and 11 was when the first one was issued. I do not have the other one in front of me, sir, and I'm sorry for that. The final date for
That's
the
timeline.
Division 3 was the 17th of May, which was the regular meeting. It's held 1 week after the public hearing, which was on the 10th of May, the concept hearing being on the 19th of April, pre-application on the 1st of April.
Okay.
Division 2 should have been March 11th.
Right.
It should be a Thursday.
Right. And that's the one I have. Did you issue 2 at that time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so he did issue 2 on that at that particular time. So I only had a copy of 1 with me.
So the Division 3 ultimately was approved on 5/17.
Yes, sir. That's when the process was
overriding any and all dates and processes before.
The approval was granted for the entire project, yes, sir.
Okay.
Four buildings and had been gone through the scoring process and completed the process as far as the Planning Commission was concerned in the order as prescribed by their process. They were made aware that the emergency waiver had been issued and that two building or at least a building permit had been issued. I would be remiss if I told you they knew two were issued. I don't know that, but they do know that one Division 2 permit had been issued and that there were buildings out of the ground at that particular time.
And Mr. Paulson, you alluded to the provision of the, was it Gillen?
The Gillen rule is what he was referring to, Mr. Price.
And you alluded to the fact that it doesn't exclude the processes for the county commission to do its job?
Do as necessary. I'm not testifying, I'm not going to make a determination of whether an emergency waiver is necessary to their duties under the statutes. So.
Okay. All right. Very good. I'll close the public hearing at this time, and we'll go to the board for consideration of this appeal. Any comments, any decision to make a motion of... to grant the appeal or not to.
Was the appeal filed on time?
Yes.
The appeal was filed within 88 days of the approval of the Division III, and if they do have 90 days, yes, sir, it was filed in time.
Okay, because I'm showing here it was 8/13, and you said that the Division III was 5/17.
Yes, sir, it was. When we're counting days and over 30 days, we do not include the day of the approval, the 17th, you do not include.
Okay.
You do include every other day from that.
One of that I'm right.
That's the process that we use anyway.
Right.
Okay.
It would appear that the emergency waiver issue is the one that is the crux of the matter. And knowing that it's been in existence, whether it's lawful or not, is another point. But the commission has used that in the past. I think that's the only thing that we could all agree to, and that Mr. Majors followed up on the Division II and Division III concept hearing and a public hearing and regular meeting, all in due course, after the waiver was approved on March the 5th of 2010. And yes, this board does appear, does grant variances, but this is not a variance request. This is an appeal of the decision of record from the Planning and Zoning Commission approval on May the 17th. I would entertain a motion if one is ready to make one.
I'll make the motion to deny.
Based upon?
Well, that this board, I don't think, has the it's not a variance that we're deciding here. It's the waiver that the commission is allow this to happen or whatever, and I just don't feel that the board is not in our scope of what we are supposed to be doing to rule on this.
Okay, so you think that subsequent to the Division II permit and the emergency waiver, you followed the proper procedures, but it's the emergency waiver and the Division II that's causing the problem, and you think that's a commission-caused situation, it's not a Board of Adjustment?
Correct.
And otherwise, you still need to follow the procedures.
Yes, correct.
Second.
I have a motion made by Tom Gideon to deny the appeal, and a second from Bob Haslin to agree with it. Is there any discussion at all? Hearing none, I will call for a vote then. Tom, how would you vote?
To deny.
Bob, how would you vote?
Deny.
David, how would you vote?
Deny.
Jack, how would you vote?
To approve.
And the chairman would vote for to denial. So we do have a 4-1 decision, which will give you a course of action to ask for a reconsideration.
Yes, sir, reconsideration.
At our next meeting, and then on to circuit court if you want to do that procedure.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I would like to ask under Article 14, subparagraph E of your bylaws, that we receive written findings of fact and conclusions of law on your decision.
All right. So noted. This case is over. We will continue with our regular meeting then. Are there any old or new business that we have before the board?
No, sir, we do not have any old business. We do meet again next month, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember what for? Next month. We don't have anything yet. At this juncture, gentlemen, you may be off next month. So.
All right.
You may have a request for rehearing or something like that, but at this juncture, we do not have a request before us. So.
May or may not have anything regarding the inclusion.
Right.
Okay.
You and I, guess, huh?
Have before you the minutes of the last minutes of the meeting of August the 18th. Would have an approval of those minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion to move and seconded to approve the minutes of the prior meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right.
I have two questions. Who seconded the minutes?
Bob.
Jack Bob seconded. And who seconded the motion to deny?
I seconded it.
You did? Okay.
And Jack seconded the minutes.
Got it. Jack seconded the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Bob made the motion.
Mm-hmm. And when you said approve, you were voting against the motion. Is that
correct? Right.
That's okay.
That's correct.
That's how I took it, sir.
That's how I took it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it seemed pretty clear.
You were going to approve the appeal. You just said approve, and you could have been approving the motion.
No, I knew it. I think I knew it.
That's how it
happened. Yeah. All right. Meeting is meeting is adjourned then? All right. Thank you very much for your job.